League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters, on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, the hardest hitting soccer talk show, arguably. It's going to be good this next hour, though. We've got a roundtable going on. 713-780-3776. Is the number to call in. We want you to participate in the second hour. So if you want to be a piece of the action, you can come on this show and bring your opinions. Don't be afraid. I know you're out there. And we will give some Dynamo Vancouver Whitecaps tickets away. We will contemplate some Dynamo. We will talk FIFA Club World Cup. We got a lot to talk about here in hour number two. Again, a shout out to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. We got some sound as well. We're going to play in this part of the program, and we'll get some reaction from the guys as well. So it's Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. We call him the Great Dane, and Victor Ariza from CONCACAF. And also Deportes Houston. Victor, welcome in. Jan, welcome in.
Thank you. Thanks, Glenn.
All right. So I think we have to start it off with FIFA Club World Cup. So just some real, give me 30, 40 seconds initially on your thoughts about it, Victor. You start it off.
Again, I was a fan of the format. I liked the way it kind of turned out. It was a pleasant surprise, especially with the color of the fans. And we'll see if this really evolves into something that's more quote-unquote important than the UEFA Champions League. We'll see what it is over time. But, you know, ultimately, I liked it. And let's see what – again, the only complaint that maybe I had was the timing. I would have liked it to have been maybe a year after the World Cup. But other than that, tremendous.
Yeah, it's going to be every 4 years, $1 billion in prize money. I'm sure they're going to look at it and try and play it if they have afternoon games and they have to schedule that way. They're going to have to play those in dome stadiums probably, I would think, in most parts of the country. But I was very skeptical at first, Jan. I've been won over by it. The main reason it won me over was the big clubs of South America having an opportunity in a rarity in sports to play the big clubs of Europe, because everybody in every sport is trying to find a unique way to present a new type of tournament or a new event. That was it for me, the matchups.
Yeah, for me, the exciting part was exactly the South American teams and their fans, that the atmosphere in the stadium was just, I've been fortunate to be in Argentina for games, and it was just like Argentina. They were jumping and yelling and screaming. It was wonderful. And the quality of the soccer got better and better as the tournament won, of course. But I still think that the heat, man, and the lightning delays and all that stuff, that's going to be something that could be a problem next year. But I'm sure that FIFA is going to take a close look at the heat, or do something like they did in Qatar with fans and ice around the field. And I don't know what.
But. You know, that's an interesting one, because I think out of all the venues, there's only six that are domed stadiums. Yes. And after watching this and hearing the complaints of a lot of teams, that Victor could be an issue.
And I think Gianni Infantino said that for the World Cup, they're going to try to make those daytime games, right? We'll see how it affects Houston. Does that mean that, you know, we'll get a good team coming here maybe?
Oh, well, we're going to get a good team. We got seven matches. We're going to get a good team. Well,
but that is one of the caveats that NRG Stadium has.
Well, and that's one of the benefits, I think, Ian, for the fact that this FIFA Club World Cup was played a year out. Not that we didn't know that it's going to be hot in the summer. It was in 94 during the World Cup when we hosted it the last time. But saying that, having the FIFA Club World Cup was probably good for them as an organization and all the people that work on the committee, let's even say specific to Houston. This was really, really good to get reminded of things.
Yeah, that was a big test for everybody and a good way to find out where was the mistakes, where was the errors, and also maybe FIFA will get some lesson also on some of the ticket prices that they started out with. And, you know, I had a friend of mine who paid $250 and he sat next to a guy that paid $25. So as the game got closer, they lowered the prices. And I absolutely think that a fit between $60 and $100 for will be wonderful to have tickets for that. Because right now, I checked out on the Houston games, and, you know, they're like $450 or $650 for decent seats, you know.
For World Cup?
For the World Cup next year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought they were higher than that, single tickets.
Well, the $450, but that was not even good seats, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway. Listen. I think we all know that this FIFA Club World Cup got a little bit more interesting once they said $1 billion in prize money. And then it's interesting. We had the differing quotes from differing people. Jurgen Klopp was totally against this thing, too much workload. He was more looking at it from the player perspective, Victor. But then you got Arsene Wenger, who, you know where his bread's buttered. He's saying, well, you know, the clubs love it. Well, the clubs love it because the owner investors love it because of the amount of prize money that's made available here.
Well, and Arsene Wenger now works for FIFA too, right?
Yeah. and then they bring in Baggio, you bring in the Ronaldo 9, and you get them to say glowing things about it. I like it. It's won me over now. I'll look forward, and I will watch it in 4 years.
And I really hope that next time they could do it in South America. You may, because down there is the winter time down there, and can you imagine having it in Brazil and Argentina combined with European teams going there?
Boy, I talked about that, I think, prior or tonight in the first segment, but that would be a dream. On the other hand, you can't maximize profit like you can in the U.S.
Probably not.
That would be the problem. But yeah. I agree with you. Wintertime, historic Maracana, whatever. I mean, that would be it. But, you know, it seems everything comes to the U.S. or maybe Saudi Arabia. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at with that. Okay. And we're talking now the sort of the data on the money side of it, the financial model in this thing, which if you qualified and participated, that was a big part of the – it's about a half of – about $500 million. Then the competition side of it was another $500 million. The farther you went, the more money you went. You made – Chelsea made a boatload, $130 million, and, too bad for PSG. They only walked away with 80-something million. But – the Americanization of this now, well, let's go into that a little bit. There were people that were complaining about you had the Let's Get Ready to Rumble guy. They didn't like not having traditional walkouts. They didn't like the Super Bowl halftime thing. Did you guys have a problem with that? I'll start with you, Victor.
I you know what? I didn't. And maybe
you
because,
better say
maybe,
that because you're a no. WWE fan. You better say
it was
you
a
didn't
lot of
have a problem with it.
I think the fact that we're used to it here, around the U.S. sports, it's whatever to me.
Spectacle.
But I the only thing maybe that was weird to me was the walkouts, the one by one, when maybe, you know, we could have just had the teams come out. But other than that, everything else, it's part of the showmanship of hosting it in the United States. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, no, well, I believe we'll get a different perspective here.
A lot of my European friends complained about that.
Of course.
What is this, man? This is like a
but they don't like us Americans anyway.
Like Super Bowl show or whatever. And, of course, I thought it was a little bit too much with the boxing announcer. Even he sounded good. But I thought it was a little bit too much. And I agree. They should walk out together, the players, man. So, but I'm not a fan of it. I'm a little more conservative.
You and me are traditionalists, yeah. I think. But I will say this. I don't mind trying things.
No, I think
you know what I mean? As long as the central focus is on the football, ultimately, which it was, nobody's going to remember Michael Buffer. Nobody's worried about that. They're going to remember a first half where, you know, Cole Palmer lit up PSG and Chelsea outplayed him.
Right, right.
I will say that is one thing that stood out to me, the way they did the halftime show on the upper deck of MetLife Stadium,
yeah,
and didn't disturb the field for halftime.
Yeah,
I didn't expect it. That was the pleasant surprise too.
But how many times can we see a guy with a microphone or a girl with a microphone and 16 guys?
If it was
jumping
the Rolling
around,
Stones, you'd be fine with it.
I would be fine with the Stones, but it doesn't have to be the Stones. I mean, we got to come up with something different than somebody with a microphone and 17 people jumping behind him. I know J Balvin's popular. Yeah. I just came back from Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico has in residency Bad Bunny for like 3 months. It's insane, the ticket prices for that too. Somehow people are coming up with the money. Back to the Brazilian teams. I think they were the big winners, Jen. As far as exposure, branding, maybe getting unique fans now, I thought the Brazilian clubs were big winners.
I thought the Brazilian clubs showed they can play with the European teams. And they showed the technical skills. They showed the tactical skills, which surprised me a little bit. I thought they were not going to be as technical as they were. But it was all the South American teams actually was a pleasure to watch. And they wanted to play football, really football. They really wanted to play it. And I was impressed by them. And I really hope the next time we will have maybe one thing that scares me is they talk about 48 teams next time.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be, you know, you want to see FC Salzburg playing Oslo from Norway or whatever, something like that.
Well, look, you already had Jordan and Uzbekistan qualify for the World Cup. Now, nothing against Jordan and Uzbekistan, right, but if we're trying to make this the best of the best, that's being attacked. That's under attack now, because now it's expansion, it's widening out, it's participatory, and that's a really tricky balance. Participation and meritocracy in tournaments. That is a tricky balance in this day and age with the people that run the sport globally, and to them it's about dollars and cents.
Yeah, that's what it's all. And it makes me sad when they take 48 teams, man. We're going to have 150 games.
I'm fearful that, you know, look, we're going to have an amazing World Cup with 48 teams. I think we know that. There's going to be a lot learned, just like in this FIFA Club World Cup. We got 7 games here in Houston. This is spectacular. But, you know, I think out 3 or 4 World Cups from now, and could this begin to look just like another soccer tournament, Victor Ariza?
That's the thing, is where do you stop? And I think maybe time will prove us wrong, and maybe maybe this will be a good idea. I don't know, but I think you're right. If we get to 90 teams, I mean, it's not, I don't know. I thought 32 was the perfect number, the sweet spot. But again,
remember, it was 16, and then I can't remember the year it changed. But the World Cup yen went from 16 to they doubled it that time. And I don't know what year it was and which World Cup it was, but that was a big deal at that time. And then that held for a while.
Right, right. And what I find kind of the rich clubs are getting richer from this. Well, I'm hoping that a lot of the stuff will go back to a lot of the clubs in Europe that are struggling, because, you know, Glenn, every.
Okay, so hold a thought there, because here's what Infantino said.
Yeah.
If you're going to believe this.
Yeah.
He said that the $1 billion, it was a $2 billion event. The other billion was going to go back to federations and be spread out amongst FIFA organizations. And I'm laughing because I'd love to see the balance sheet on this thing and where the money's going, but it was going to be spent strictly on the teams in this tournament, and then it would be used in other federations around the world. So they claim nothing's going into their pockets. It's all going to be, well, it is going into FIFA's pockets, but it's going to be utilized to grow the game.
I will say regionally, for maybe the CONCACAF Champions Cup, I think it's added importance for the fans, because I think before, Mexican fans were like, we always win it. It doesn't, you know, as long as the MLS team doesn't win it. Now you see fans saying, I want my team to win it because I want to see them face these European teams in the next edition.
Oh, 100%. I mean, and that was the beauty for listen, even though the U.S. teams didn't do well, and even the Mexican teams, they had great opportunities to play as some of the largest clubs in the world. By the way, Inter Miami came back with $21 million, okay? Interesting, because since this is a centralized league, the CBA...
Yeah, Monterrey's not having that problem.
No. The CBA, though, the collective bargaining agreement says the players in an MLS team that play in a tournament can only be a part of the first million earned, and only half of that, 500,000. So that would come out, if you had a roster of 26 to 28, probably around 15 to 17,000 a piece.
Can you imagine if Messi gets a check for like 15 grand?
So my point is, though, I'm wondering, because I don't know this, and I should have found this out before tonight, does the rest of that money go into the coffers of Major League Soccer, or does Inter Miami get to keep it?
Or does it go across?
And by the way, that's not enough. Yeah, I mean, does it go to Moss and Beckham, or does it have to go back to the league, and do they get a piece of the action? Yeah. Right, because it's a centralized league, and that's one of the knocks on a centralized league, is that it doesn't lead to as much meritocracy. And competition. So I don't know. I don't think the Houston Dynamo deserve any money for what Inter Miami did, and I don't think any other MLS teams that didn't qualify deserve it. But, you know, they share, everything is shared. So I don't know. I found that interesting. You can bet your bottom dollar, though, that the collective bargaining agreement will change before the next FIFA Club World Cup, and the players can get more. That's why Seattle had those shirts on, right?
Yeah, the Monopoly with the...
Yeah, what did it say?
I think it had like MLS on one of them and FIFA Club World Cup on the probably like on the money bag. But I think the Monopoly guy was MLS, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but who were they calling out? MLS? They were FIFA? Who were they calling out?
They were calling out MLS for not giving, for what you just mentioned, for not basically trickling down the money down to the
players. Bigger percentage of the winnings. All right, Jan, comment on Chelsea, this performance. I know you're a Liverpool guy, and the shout-out to Houston Liverpool supporters group, but give us some thoughts on Chelsea.
Well, I've never seen Chelsea play as good as they did in that first half against PSG. I felt they came out with no fear. And the tactic with the pressing, and if you notice the pressing, they also had a backup because they knew if they could play the tiki-taka, they were just having an extra backup. And then the just quick counterattacks. I mean, PSG was just rattled from the first minute, or for the first half, actually, right? They were rattled, and then it was too late after that to come back. So I was impressed with Chelsea. I was impressed with, of course, with Cole Palmer. Always been impressed with him. But beautiful goals and assists, and his brain, man, is just wonderful player to watch. And, of course, the Pedro guy that they signed from Brighton, he's going to be a great signing, I think. He's really talented.
Good movement up
good
front.
Good movement, yeah. And so I think it's it worked well for Chelsea, and I was impressed. But I think what Chelsea saw was PSG against Bayern, because Bayern was really a little unlucky against PSG.
Correct. They played a good game against
them. They played a really good game, and they pressed them, and I think they learned a lot from that. I think Chelsea's coach got it right. So that good for Chelsea. And I think Chelsea could go and say, okay, you're going to play the world champions the next 4 years. You know,
they're going to have a logo. We were talking in segment two with Chelsea Mike. They're going to have a logo that says world champions.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. Victor Ariza, Deportes Houston. We've got he works with CONCACAF, does a lot of writing for them. And Jan Christensen, the great Dane, great supporter of soccer in Houston. Both these guys, DanishInspirations.com for the best in modern contemporary furniture. Got any sales going on yet?
Always.
Any specials?
Oh,
what do we
special.
Got going
Just
on?
Just come into the store and mention Soccer Matters, and you know, we'll take good care of you. No
I bought a couch
that.
There that, by the way, I could put three families on.
Yeah.
It's that big.
Yeah. And of course, your stressless chair.
Yes, stressless. Excellent chair. I've fallen asleep in that a few times. All right, we're going to take a break here. A little Black Keys here, our favorite for Brian McDonald. Going to come back. Got some interesting sound from Jurgen Klinsmann on the Landon Donovan snub in the World Cup, since Christian Pulisic didn't play in the Gold Cup for the U.S. We'll talk a little bit about the Gold Cup. We'll also talk some Dynamo. And then I've got a couple of other interesting global topics to bring up as well. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, everybody in the 80s were weaving reggae into it. Even the vaunted Clash. This is a very cool song. It's called Living in Fame. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue on tonight here. Word here, as I lose my voice, for Senate Avenue Brewing. I probably need a beer. Small batch brewery and kitchen, handcrafted beer, no mass production, 16,000 diller. Award-winning beer up there, Andrew Mitchum and Company. They've got seven big screens in the tap room. Andrew's a big, big soccer fan, Dynamo season ticket holder. Super comfortable atmosphere, dog-friendly patio. Food is excellent as well. Burgers, wings, fish and chips. On Tuesdays when we're up there, they do a bulgogi bowl, which is a really health-conscious good bowl, which has got steak in it. Steak and Steins on Thursdays. You can fill your stein for $20. Fish and chips on Friday. And it's just a great place to watch games. So next week, Tuesday, we'll be live there, and we'll have a Dynamo player up there and guests. B-Mac, are you going to be up there? B-Mac will be up there with me. And B-Mac likes his spot, too. Brian McDonald, producer. And then the Monday prior to that, on the 21st, it's Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, Marquee Entertainment Center. We're doing a official FIFA film. It's the 1966 World Cup. Yan, you need to be there. Victor, I hope you're there. It's the 66 World Cup, the only time England won it. Yan, what do you remember about the 66 World Cup?
The goal, the 3-2, where they hit the underside of the bar, and everybody thought it was a goal or not a goal. Jeff Hurst, man, and Jeff Hurst scored a hat trick.
Was it a hat trick or four? Hat trick.
Hat trick. Hat trick. Yeah.
Okay.
And I watched it, man. I remembered it clearly, and it was devastated when Germany tied the game at the end there. You know, so
West Germany.
West Germany,
yeah,
that's right.
We have to
say West Germany.
We didn't know much about East Germany back then.
Uwe Seeler was playing, yeah.
Uwe Seeler.
Yeah.
There's a big name that Yan came up with, and that's a big name. England, what, they had Nobby Stiles,
Bobby Charlton. Yeah, Gordon Banks,
yeah. Great names. The only England World Cup win on their soil, but they'll come in to the World Cup in a good place. All right, welcome back to the show. You know what? Dynamo Vancouver tomorrow night. Vancouver has not been playing that well as of late, although they are third in the Western Conference. They got back their U.S. national team players as well. So right now, caller number 4, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 4, you get a pair of tickets to tomorrow night. You'll get those tickets by tomorrow morning. All right, so let's see if these phone lines light up here tonight, if we have Dynamo fans here on the phone. And we'll stick with a little Dynamo and Major League Soccer talk here right now. Press conference today from Ben Olsen. Victor, where do you see the Dynamo at this juncture? You heard Jonathan Bond's interview. He says it's about consistency, but where do you see the Dynamo at this juncture?
Well, they got three home games. They got a... hopefully get 9 points there, and I think that'll put them up at 500 before the League's Cup. That would be the ideal scenario considering everything that's happened. at least 2 out of 3 you would think they have to take from this next stretch. But I think they certainly have the possibility to take all three. They're at home. Philadelphia might be the most complicated one of those games, but they got to start getting results.
Well, some will say Vancouver. Pedro Vite is on his way to Pumas, so Pumas has picked off a good player, haven't they, the Vancouver Whitecap winger?
Yeah, sounds like. And look, it's a Wednesday game. I'll say this, just my observation. I don't think teams necessarily like coming to Houston. You sort of don't see their best side, and that's why I think they're kind of there for the pickings. They've lost 4 of their last 5 also, Vancouber. So
yeah,
if there's a time to kind of jump on them, I think the Dynamo have to get those 3 points.
Probably coincided with Berhalter and Brian White going away to the national team.
Cup as well.
Yan, where are you at with the Dynamo these days? Because you used to be a big fan, and I don't think you are anymore. I know you well enough. Where are you, and where do you see the Dynamo right now in Yan Christensen's life?
Yeah, well, as Glenn said, I used to be a big fan, and I used to, when Brian Ching and all the boys there were playing, I had season tickets and all this stuff, but I felt that the direction they took, not spending any money on the team, or real money on the team, and I thought it became a little boring, and I have to admit I'm not following that much. I'm actually following Vancouver more because of the Danish coach, Jesper Sorensen. So I've been, but I just think Houston is a big market, and I think they make a mistake not getting some really players that would attract, like they got the Mexican national what's his name,
Herrera.
Hector Herrera when he was here. Exactly. Yeah. That made a splash. It made the team more relevant.
A big splash, and actually went down and saw a game when he was playing because of that. And I just think that in this market, they need to do that to attract.
So a lot of people who don't believe you got to have stars. You just have to have a bunch of hardworking guys, and that's good enough. I don't know. Mexican League, Liga MX, Victor, I think one of their big things has been they have acquired a lot of name players. Jaimes Rodriguez, Sergio Ramos, and I think that's going to continue.
Aaron Ramsey now.
Aaron Ramsey. Unbelievable.
Certainly seems like Liga MX is picking up some momentum back, at least in star power. And we'll see if it translates to a better league play on the field.
713-780-3776. Who wants to join the fray here tonight with both Yan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture and Victor Ariza of CONCACAF and Deportes Houston? Here's one for both of you. Mateus Bogusz, who you remember from LAFC, was an attacking player, now at Cruz Azul. I don't think he was a starter. He only played 880 minutes, 14 matches, only had a goal and 2 assists. Mateus Bogusz, do we have that sound? Yeah, we do have that sound.
Sorry, which one?
Mateus Bogusz. Let's listen to this sound and get both of your reaction. When you're ready, Brian, just give me a nod. Okay, here we go.
For other options, you know, I was already there 2 years, so that was the two topics, or I come back to Europe or I will find a better team. And Cruz Azul, for me, was a better team and, was another opportunity to go to the next step, you know. That's why I choose Cruz Azul. The league here is more competitive, you know. Who have better players here is, I can feel already, than is harder than it was in MLS. So that was my decision.
Tell us really how you fear, Mateus. He says Liga MX is better than MLS and harder. Victor.
Well, and then he look at the team he went to, one of the most colored fan bases in the entire league. So I think it certainly that helped the run they had to the Champions Cup final. I think he was, I don't have the exact number on me, but I believe he was, he had a couple of assists. He was involved in that run. Even with LAFC and their fandom, I think obviously it's another world at some of these Liga MX teams.
Yan, what'd you think about his comments?
Well, I my personal opinion is watching Liga MX, I think it's a better league. I think there are more competitive teams that are in MLS, in my judgment. They have most of the games are very competitive here. In MLS, I feel that sometimes...
Is that because of... Do you guys think that's because of the split season? They have really short tournaments. You got to win pretty quickly, right?
That's part of it.
Yeah, I think that's got to be part of it. I don't like that because I can't... Half the time, I can't tell you who won the title. I know Toluca won it, but I mean, it's like they're done riding on top of the bus and
and
celebrating. And the next thing you know, the league started again.
And they got some wacky stuff too, right? Where the league just started. Not all the teams were on, you know, the first match day. There's some games tomorrow. America and Toluca are going to play in that. And then they're going to play for the Super Cup essentially on over the weekend. And, you know, that's, I mean, can you imagine that in England playing the Community Shield after week one of the, or week two of the league?
Boy, the calendar is getting shorter, smaller, and so condensed with games and people coming up with ideas and tournaments. Yan, I know you're a purist like me. Are you worried about the player?
Yeah, I'm worried about the players. Man, you know, Clint, how much toll it takes on their bodies to play the that amount of games they're playing. And I think in some cases it's going to shorten the career a little bit. And also, I think in some cases, it'll shorten the quality at the end of the season. You saw some of the teams at the World Cup, they seem tired. Some of the teams at the World Cup seem tired, you know.
The FIFA Club World Cup?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the beginning, in the preliminary round, because here's some teams, they were not running up to their normal speed. And one thing I noticed with Man City, for example, I think they seem tired. So I think it's a mistake, but that's what FIFA wants. They want money, and the players will have to. They paid a lot of money. So you sacrifice, I guess, your body for all that money, I guess. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting if there is ever any real resistance to it. But listen, it's not for another 4 years. And really, the ones who are important in this whole scenario are the guys that own the clubs, because they want this money. What's the biggest thing in Europe? It's the Champions League, because these owners want that Champions League money. So I don't know. And then that brings us to Christian Pulisic. You know, you got a lot of people that said, oh, hardcore, he should be playing for the U.S. in the Gold Cup. He made a decision to benefit himself. He's got good people around him. I know that he made a bit. How do you feel about that?
I respect his decision. He knows his body. He feels like, you know, I have to take a break, because he played a lot of games. He started every game for Milan almost, right? And he played a lot of games, and he listened to his body, and I have to respect that.
Yeah, Victor.
I'm fine with it. I think the communication could have been way better.
Yeah, the communication.
The handling
really,
of the whole thing could have been way better.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think if it had been presented the right way, everybody would have understood.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll go to this. He was pretty much injury-free for 2 years. He had a lot of injury problems during his time at Chelsea. He didn't get along with the head coach, with Tuchel. That seemed to be a weird relationship. So your bread is buttered by Milan, right? Now, is there consequence to this with Mauricio Pochettino? It's possible. I don't believe so. I believe him and Pochettino will patch these things up. It'll be smooth sailing with them. Nobody cared about Yunus Musa saying he wasn't going to play in it for personal reasons, and that's because Pulisic's our high-profile guy. Comes with the territory. All right, Shattered Rolling Stones. Taking a break here. I got another pair of tickets right now. Caller number 4, Houston Dynamo Vancouver, tomorrow night. Caller number 4. And somebody weighed in here with us. 713-780-3776. Caller number 4. Do not forget LamontBrands.com for all your printing needs.
ESPN
97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Yan, I know you've eaten there. And Victor, I know you've eaten there. 3 locations in Houston for the best in Greek food. It's an institution. So is our friend Dimitri and his family who grown this business. Locations in the Woodlands, I-10 in the Beltway near Katy, and then the original in Montrose. Souvlaki, gyro, the lamp shank, amazing soups and pastries, hummus, all that great Mediterranean diet. It is Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. By the way, congratulations out to Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, hosting the first ever Gold Cup final, 70,000 people plus, Mexico 2-1, but another big feather in the cap for Houston, Texas when it comes to content. And by the way, I would thank Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. The main reason we got the World Cup was his massive attendance for international soccer in this town.
Yeah, I think it's phenomenal, but also Mexico must have felt at home, you know. When,
I think they do. They do pretty much anywhere they go in the States.
But as you know, again, all the big games we've had here has been sold out. Yeah. We went to the Argentina-USA game a few years ago, and every of the big friendlies have been sold out. So we have fantastic talent. That's why sometimes it irritates me the Dynamo don't do a better job of marketing themselves.
Yeah, I would agree. So, I mean, we would be one of the top three soccer cities in the United States. We're a great soccer city, but if our MLS product was a little bit higher up and more relevant and more interest generated in the media, it's just like we exist. And listen, we know the players and everybody are working hard, but it just seems like we exist. It doesn't seem like we want to go over the top. Victor, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, a star player would really help. A star player that could draw, right? Like, I think that's why James Rodriguez would sort of fit that bill because of the big Colombian population here. Herrera was on the Mexican national team. He didn't have the draw power of a Chicharito or a Carlos Vela, and we knew that. I don't know if the Dynamo knew that, and I think that's why I felt they needed to do a little bit more marketing. But, you know, it's all water under the bridge now.
My personal opinion is Hector Herrera wasn't out there enough. I mean, throwing a pitch at a baseball game is great, but
could have gone to all these local leagues.
There was a lot of other things that I just – you have to make the personal connection. I get it, but you know, it's even like the NWSL sometimes, because I relate it to my experiences when I was playing, and I probably did 20 clinics for every game that I played. Granted, very different time period. I'm not trying to be totally comparatively here, but the thing is, if you are not out in the public and you're not drawing, then you're not going to get them back by social media posts. That's not how it's going to work. It's going to be hand-to-hand connection. And I think we just need a lot more of that because it is, you know, there's a lot of us that want this thing to work. And it just seems like we kind of exist. And existing, it's professional sports is about competition. You got to compete for the fan. No question about it. All right, let's keep it moving on here. By the way, All-Star Game is going to be in Austin. And I get a text from Jan this morning, and Jan says, hey, the Danes are invading the MLS All-Star Game in Austin. Tell us about the two and the connection to Brøndby.
Yeah. So the center back, Maxu, I believe he plays for Colorado Rapids.
Maxu, yeah. By the way, he's scored this past weekend.
Okay. And he's a very talented player. He went from Brøndby's academy to FC Nordsjælland, and then he came back to Brøndby. And then he went a few places before he came to Colorado Rapids. But a solid player, strong in the air, very strong in the air. And then we have Dreyer from San Diego.
Yeah.
You know, Dreyer was becoming a superstar at Rubin Kazan in Russia when Ukraine's invasion happened.
Wow.
So his contract, all the Danish players left Russia.
Sure.
And but he had already scored like 8 goals in 16 games or something and was really playing well there. So then he came back to Denmark to FC Midtjylland. But he was originally bought by Brighton in the Premier League. But then he never played one game for 2 years. He never played one game. They put him out on loan to Holland and stuff like that. But now he's an extremely talented, hardworking, shoot with both feet, and just was the first American-based player that was picked for the Danish national team, because normally they don't
Yeah. So San Diego.
So he picked. He took him through all the way to San Diego to play for the Danish national team.
He's having a great season. The Dynamo did a good job on him in the 4-3 win, but he's a good player.
And he's still only about 28, I think. So while Maxo is about 31, and of course, then we have Vancouver's head coach Jesper Sorensen as well, and we have Sviatchenko in Houston. So a few Danish and Michael Ure in Philadelphia. So we've got a few Danish players for a small country like Denmark.
Yeah, I think Eric Sviatchenko being injured all year is kind of hurt the stability, although you heard Jonathan Bond, Victor, talking about having a little bit more settled back four. It looks like Andrade now maybe is the first choice at the moment for Ben Olsen.
Yeah, and it shifts things around because, Griffin Dorsey had sort of gotten hold of that position, and he's your top assist man. That's another thing you're leaving on the bench when you sit Dorsey. But I don't know, going back to that season where they got to the Western Conference Final, that Herrera MVP year, one of the big parts of that was that guys like Griffin Dorsey, their game flourished. There was a different standard set. You could see it. You could see him trying harder. You can see him perfecting little things that I don't know if he's necessarily doing nowadays. Just my personal observation. And I think doing it in game. He may be training, but it doesn't reflect in the game.
Yeah, his effort is passes, never questioned. Right. But you're right. That may be part of the reason. I think the other part of it is I think Andrade is a better one-on-one defender.
Yeah.
I say that with all due respect. But there are a bunch of games coming up, so you're going to see a lot of him.
Well, do you push Dorsey higher up the field? I mean, that's...
You could. You could. That's down to tactics and the coach. But I think the biggest piece for me, And I want people to listen to this. 29th in the league are the Houston Dynamo in percentage of shots on target. I just don't think this team has finishers. And I think the idea here is goals by committee. And that can work sometimes. That can work in the Hector Herrera era. I think now it's hit or miss. I think it's really going to be a struggle for the Dynamo unless they get some solidarity now. And they are able to put it together a little bit more defensively, but that just, even when the Dynamo had Bossy, Kovalchuk, Coco, those are not finishers historically in their career. You ended up having to go to a center forward in Corey Baird because of his movement. They were not finishers. They aren't finishers. Yeah, Bossy had 10. I think 7 were penalties, right? but I'm just saying, sometimes we expect a little more out of others, and I think
remove Herrera and it's a different picture.
You move Herrera and people play differently. When that guy's around you, he makes you better. That's another key point on having a big piece fulcrum. And I think if you don't have that big piece fulcrum that makes others better, Yan, then I think you're going to be in MLS and it's going to be a fight and a struggle every year. And if that's the way you're going to go about your business, it is. But I just the Dynamo are in their bottom third in all the attacking categories in the league. There's no question. They're 29th in the league in percentage of shots on goal at 42%. You saw the last game and you could say, well, we had lots of shots. But if you looked at the finishing, it's not good.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting enough opportunities for guys that can finish or theoretically can finish, like and Ezequiel Ponce, Linger, even if he's coming off the bench. I don't know if they're finding these guys enough. Some of the chances you see the other night, Franco Escobar among them, and guys are going to, teams are going to start figuring out Anali as the season goes on. But yeah, they still got to figure out the how to score goals, and that's going to be the big issue going forward.
Ben Olsen had a quote today: "We've been living in important games for 3 months, and that's because of the start to the season. They've had to kind of play catch up." Jonathan Bond mentioned that as well. So tomorrow's a big one. Vancouver, deep physical team. Sebastian Berhalter, Brian White, who came out of nowhere to bang in a bunch of goals in that one. All right, it's Victor Ariza, Jan Christensen. Jan, I go to you. How about this? Luka Modric to play at Milan with Christian Pulisic. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's wonderful for Modric. I mean, he's a fantastic player and a man who understands his age. I don't think he ever tries to do more than he can do, but his view of the field and everything. I think it's going to be a great benefit for Pulisic. And I just hope that it'll be a success, because of course in that age you are vulnerable to injuries, and it is a tough league too. Serie A is a tough league, and hopefully he can stay healthy. But I think it's going to be wonderful to watch his final years.
Boy.
He got a 2-year contract, I believe, and so the last 2 years of his career, and what a career he had.
Now it'll be interesting to see how they use him, because for me, Italy is a league where they seem to value the older player a little bit more. The pace of the game is obviously slower, a bit slower, very tactical. But I think he could thrive. And I'll tell you what, if Pulisic gets in front of him, he's going to find him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see. Absolutely.
I like watching the Italian league. Do you, yeah. Victor?
I like it more now that we got some more Americans there.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see how, because I thought Modric was going to retire. I, you know, if that was a surprise to me, see him pop up at Milan, and I'm curious to see, you know, how he's going to do, and certainly how it affects, obviously, the American players, and Santi Jimenez was also at AC Milan.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we're seeing Mexican players and American players go overseas. All right, let's get that Jurgen Klinsmann soundbite in on Landon Donovan and his exclusion from the World Cup.
No, I never had a problem with Landon until I told him that he's not going to Brazil. but it was a purely footballing decision, because we felt, all the coaches, that his time was kind of over and more talent was there and the better players were going to Brazil. So it was purely out of technical reasons and nothing else. The relationship with players for managers is crucial. I mean, there's no doubt that Maurizio and Christian need to stick really tight together and go through issues and talk it out, having a couple of beers or whatever it takes. It is the relationship for getting a team far in a tournament between the coaching staff and the players needs to work. There's no doubt about it. You know, they need to be comfortable, they need to believe in what we all are doing, they need to have an open word also, saying their own things, you know, and but Maurizio is so experienced, excuse me, he coached big teams, so he knows all that. You know, he took Spurs to a Champions League final, we almost made it, and I think they work it out. They're going to work it out.
All right, real quickly, Jan, you have 10 seconds, real quick comment on that.
Well, I think everything you said is right. That relationship is important, and it's going to happen. It's going to be all right.
Victor?
Pulisic's obviously younger than Donovan was, so it is a different situation.
Yeah, much different. By the way, that's the World Cup. Landon Donovan took 153 days off. So go figure. Those relationships are important, though, with big players. And that time you heard it from Jurgen Klinsmann. All right, Victor Ariza, Deportes Houston. Also, CONCACAF, thank you for coming in tonight. Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. Gentlemen, great job.
Thank you.
Anytime, Ben.
All right, those two great. The host, we'll give him a 6 out of 10, maybe. 7. Producer, 10 out of 10.
Glenn, you get a 9 out of 10.
9? You give me a 9 tonight? Okay. That does it for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, it's presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Tomorrow night, Thursday. Destination 2026, Houston's World Cup show. And then, of course, tomorrow night, if you want to catch my call at Dynamo Vancouver, it'll be on Apple TV, the local call. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Congratulations to the ticket winners.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.